away. Yeah, I give my life away. Yeah, yeah.
Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for who you are. And Lord, we come thanking you for the life of Nicole Swan. Remembering the good memories. Thinking of the impact that she had on our lives. Lord, recognizing that she helped us to be better in so many ways. Lord, we come together to celebrate her life, but also to mourn it. And we thank you that you're here in this place, in this moment, to comfort our hearts. Ask that you would be with us. And help us to honor her and honor you. Amen. Good afternoon. My name is Adam Walker, and I had the pleasure of being in youth group with Nicole Swan when I was, a bit younger and had far less children. This isn't an easy thing. A lot of times we come to a funeral of an aunt or an uncle or a grandparent, and it's a little easier because we're celebrating a long life, but in this situation we're not. And so I recognize that. I recognize that this is not easy. But while it's not easy, it is okay. It's okay to mourn. It's okay to be sad for the tragedy of a short life. But it's also okay to celebrate and to laugh. And to be thankful for who Nicole was to us. To be thankful for how she impacted us. To be thankful for the great memories that we have of her. And to be thankful that our lives were changed because of her. And so I would encourage you during this time to mourn if you wish. But to also be comforted to know that she's home. To be comforted to know that she's with her Savior. And to know that her memory will continue to live on in each of us and in how we live our lives and how we affect the lives of others. I'm also struck by just the people in this room and the power that one life has to bring together so many lives and so many people. As I was thinking about Nicole and I was thinking about the memories that I have of her, I remember her laughing with her friends in youth group on mission trips, and I remember just looking up to her. I was a few years younger and thinking, this is an amazing, godly person that I learned so much from. I learned to be goofy with, and I learned that it's okay to have fun on mission trips. I don't know if anybody really knew that. You can actually have fun on mission trips. And I learned that you can pursue Jesus while you're having fun. And I learned a lot from her. I talked to several people and just asked for their memories of her. It's what they remember the most about her. And I got some fun responses. And I'll just read these so I don't mess them up. One person said, "Nothing in the world was like a Nicole hug. Time stood still. You were safe, loved, and the pain went away. And if you were sad, the pain went away if you were sad, and the joy multiplied if you were happy." Another person said, "A smile that encompassed her whole face, an infectious laugh, an overly generous sense of compassion." Someone said, "Her sweet and gentle spirit, her love for her friends, and how she loved helping people." And someone else said, "Her fierce loyalty and protectiveness of her friends." And I think as I was thinking about Nicole, I just remembered the smile that, I mean, I couldn't have said any better, a smile that encompassed her whole face. It was a smile that was spectacular to see. And I appreciated her and appreciated that about her. We can be comforted by these memories of her, by the time that we had with her, and we can know that she continues to live on in us. 2 Corinthians 1:3-5 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves have been comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in his comfort too."
Hi, I'm Tim. I'm one of Nicole's brothers. I just wanted to get up just briefly and thank everyone for being here. I know she would have really appreciated it. It would have meant a lot to her. I know she has a lot of friends and family here that meant a lot to her, and I really appreciate you coming. I want to thank Adam and Dina, Clay and Mark for what they've done today. You know, when Nicole was born, all of us were old enough to know, you know, that this was a little baby that came into our lives. We knew what was going on. So I just remember when she was a little baby, there was this little carry thing that Mom would put her in and set her down on the floor, and we would like fight each other to be right next to her. And I mean, we would jostle. We would actually get into fights about who would sit next to her head and just play with her and just gawk at her. And this, you know, this beautiful person that had come into our life. And I watched her grow up to be a very beautiful young woman. She was just had an amazing smile, like everyone has said, and just made you feel good every time you looked at her. She was enthusiastic about life. She was witty, funny. You know, she just brought joy into a room when she walked in. And I miss her. And we all will. She was very dear to all of us, and she loved Elise more than anything. She loved that child. And so, but thank you all for being here. And we're gonna miss her.
Thanks, Tim. You know, it's easy when you've done a handful of funerals to have kind of a canned message. As I thought about what was appropriate to say, the canned message didn't quite work for me. And I thought, well, what scripture comes to mind as I'm thinking about Nicole and what relates to who she was? What captures the essence of her? An odd passage came to mind continually. So that's what I'm going to share with you. It may seem very strange at first, but I hope you'll hang with me to the end, and I think I can tie it all together. So in Genesis 32, starting in verse 22, it says, "During the night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two female slaves, and his 11 sons, and crossed the ford of Jabbok. And he took them and brought them across the stream along with all his possessions. Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When the man saw that he could not defeat him, he struck Jacob's hip as they wrestled and dislocated his hip socket. And he said to Jacob, 'Let me go, for it is daybreak.' But Jacob said, 'I will not let you go unless you bless me.' 'What is your name?' the man asked. 'Jacob,' he replied. 'Your name will no longer be Jacob,' he said. 'It will be Israel, because you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed.' Then Jacob asked him, 'Please tell me your name.' But he answered, 'Why do you ask my name?' And he blessed him there. Jacob then named the place Peniel, for he said, 'I have seen God face to face and have been delivered.'" That's an interesting story. A man wrestling with God in the night until daybreak. It's interesting for a whole lot of reasons, and there's a lot of background here that I really can't get into. But Jacob sent all he had across ahead of him. And then he went back across the river after securing the safety and security of his family and waited. And as he waited, a man came, and that man is the incarnation of God, and wrestled with him until daybreak. I would imagine wrestling with God would be quite strenuous, or impossible, perhaps. And he kept fighting the man until the God man realized that he needed to disable Jacob, and so he disables pops his hip out of joint, which I would imagine is extraordinarily painful. And yet, even with his hip out of joint, Jacob continues to wrestle with God. And I thought about this, and you know, when you're wrestling, you have to use your legs a lot to try to get leverage and fight against people. And but Jacob couldn't do that because his hip was popped out of joint, and so he just gripped with all that he could onto God until the following morning. And because of that, God blessed him and didn't just bless him, but changed his name, which is a whole other sermon in and of itself. And how this compares back, I think, to Nicole as I was thinking about her and thinking about this passage is that Nicole wrestled with God and with men. And I think if you knew her well, you knew that she wrestled there. But that through her life, through her wrestling, through hips popped out of joint, metaphorically speaking, she held on. She held on to her faith. She held on to her belief in God. She knew that there was something more. Did she hold on perfectly? Maybe not. But she held on. I knew her long enough to know that. I knew her as recently as a few years ago and could see her faith even then. And so she wrestled with God. She wrestled with man. But in the end, she kept her grip on God secure. And I'm quite certain that now there's blessing because of that. And it's hard for us. It's hard for us to let her go. It's hard for us to say goodbye. But I think we can be assured and know that she is with her Savior, that she held on to tightly. We can know that there's no pain, that there's complete security, fulfillment, and happiness. We can know that she is happier there than anyone could ever be here. And that's a good thing. And that even though we're going to miss her, she is secure. She is happy where she is. There's a few other just quick scriptures that I'd like to share. 2 Corinthians 4:16 through 18 says, "So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light and momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comprehension. As we look not to things that are seen, but to things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, and the things that are unseen are eternal." And then John 14:1-3, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you that I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." And one of my favorites from 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18. "But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may grieve as the others do and have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven and will cry, and with a cry and command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of a trumpet, and the dead will rise in Christ first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet with the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words." We know that Nicole believed in the death in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we know from the scripture that we await that same resurrection, and that we'll be united again with those that have gone on before us, that have fallen asleep, as the scripture says, because our separation from them is not permanent, but temporary. And we can take encouragement from that. Lastly, I want to just read you this parable from Henry Van Dyke that I find profoundly encouraging. I'm standing upon the seashore. A ship at my side spreads her white sails to the morning breeze and starts for the blue ocean. She's an object of beauty and strength, and I stand and watch until at last she hangs like a speck of white cloud, just where the sea and sky come down to mingle with each other. Then someone at my side says, "There she goes." "Gone where?" "Gone from my sight, that is all." "She is just as large in mast and in hull and spar as she was when she left my side, and just as able to bear her load of living freight to the place of destination. Her diminished size is in me, not in her." And just at the moment when someone at my side says, "There she goes," there are other eyes watching her coming, and those voices are ready to take up the glad shouts, "Here she comes."
Yeah.
Would you pray with me to close this out? Father, again, we thank you for the life of Nicole. We thank you for the blessings. We thank you for the memories. Thank you for the lessons. Lord, help us to hang on to all the best that she was. To remember her well and to honor that memory. And Lord, help us to honor you as we continue in our lives. To draw together to one another, recognizing that family and friends are so important. God, we thank you for our friend. Amen. We're dismissed.